Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome, welcome back, everybody, to Big Apple Hockey, where we have a big show for you today. We've got a lot that we're going to be covering. The New York Islanders in the playoff race again, and the New York Rangers looking presidential, as well as some potential playoff upsets. I asked for the question. I, of course, am your host, Mark Williams, who is happy to have scored a goal again in his hockey league, as I did it at UBS last night. And I'm joined by the fourth period's Mr. Anthony LaRocco.
How's it going? We're at crunch time, boys, at the race. Playoffs are in, you see it in the horizon, and it's, you know, the best time of year for hockey fans. So curious to see how everything shapes up, but I'm here for it.
This is a very much March Madness for hockey, and as well as the host of the final buzzer, a Mr. John Falkowski.
So can we stop pairing Keandre Miller with Jacob Trouba?
It's just funny, folks. It's funny because that's going to be one of our Bar Talk topics. I'm pretty sure it's going to be a layup for all of us. We'll give the reasons why later. But let's go right down to the A block, where we're going to be discussing the New York Islanders going from hopeless 4% chance, I'll get into that in a second, of making the playoffs, to a much higher percentage as they've done last week. And of course, Big Apple Hockey trucker hats are available, as well as shirts like these. And the A block is powered by SeatGeek. Use the promo code Big Apple Hockey to start an account with them for your next event. But as I was mentioning, I'm going to get all this out as quick as possible because there's a lot of information to crunch. Islanders 3-1 last week with wins over the Panthers, Blackhawks, and the Flyers. And now they find themselves 1 point back of the wild card with the Capitals and 2 points back of the Flyers for the division to get into the third place. Last week, 4.7%, Anthony, and now 22% chance for them to make the playoffs. I'm going to ask you to make the call. I'll flash some other stats as well as the standings. Will the Islanders make the playoffs, Anthony?
I mean, it's like any way you answer this question, it seems to always – it always kind of changed. You know, after they won six in a row, it looked like they were going to make the playoffs. I mean, at that point, I think there were like a 60% chance or so to make the playoffs. And then, unfortunately, they negated all that good by losing six in a row. It looked like at that point they were done, and then – you know, they lost a big game to the Red Wings head-to-head last week, and then after that game, it looked bleak. And, you know, now all of a sudden, they could wake up in a playoff spot Friday morning if they beat the Blue Jackets and, you know, the Capitals were to lose. And the Red Wings are idle so on Thursday, so if the Islanders win, they'll at the very least, they'll move ahead of the Red Wings temporarily and also tie the Flyers for third. So, I mean, honestly, they certainly have a good chance with a favorable matchup coming up against Columbus and, you know, Philly sliding a little bit. So it's hard to say. I'm not going to sit here and take an easy way out. But I mean, honestly, I don't know. That's the best I could put it. I don't. What I do know is that they're very much alive. So but they got to, I mean, they've played better of late. I mean, the game against the Panthers that they won, that was obviously a huge victory. They really needed that game. They needed the 2 points against Chicago last night. They got them. And, you know, some of the – I guess the thing here is if you look at the Red Wings, the Capitals, the Flyers, I mean, these are all teams that have their, you know, severe flaws too, just like the Islanders. So, honestly, I think they have a good chance of making the playoffs because I still don't trust the Capitals. I mean, the Capitals with their goal differential we've talked about in the past. I question the Capitals getting over the finish line. And even the Flyers, you know, you got to look now. There's two paths for the Islanders to make the playoffs, third in the Metro or the wild card. So that's what they have going for them. I mean, the Red Wings right now, like the Red Wings only have the wild card option for them, whereas the Capitals, Flyers, and Islanders, they all have that third in division and wild card too as the option. So for me right now, I would say the Red Wings are probably the team, the odd men out. But again, it really comes down to which Islander team is going to show up. Because after Columbus, even if they do take care of business against the Blue Jackets, they have a tough matchup against the Predators coming up. So even though they're at home for that game, that's going to be a tough game. But, you know, I guess really as an Islander fan, the only thing you can be grateful for is with how up and down this season is, the fact that they're actually still playing meaningful games right now when a week ago it probably looked like that it was over. I mean, that's a plus. But, again, to circle back, not to take the easy way out, Mark, but I don't know. I mean, I would say 50-50, to be honest with you, but I'm excited to see how they play down the stretch here and if they can, you know, squeeze in and then go from there. But I mean, I don't know if you saw my tweet the other day, last night actually, the Godfather gift with just when they thought you were out, they pulled me back in, which also that's also a line used by George Costanza on Seinfeld for all you Seinfeld fans out there. But, you know, I had given up hope. And yet here we are with a real chance. So we'll see how it plays out.
Well, to defend my co-host and to express the frustrations that you've been feeling all season. Yeah, I got to agree with you, Anthony. I think it's been very frustrating. We didn't have you last week. So Philk and I were saying what little hope do they have left? And all it took was really just a 3-1 week. So Philk, will the Islanders make the playoffs?
I said a while ago that I thought that they eventually would because I didn't trust Philadelphia. I was waiting for Philadelphia to come back down to earth. I didn't trust Washington. I don't know if I really trust Detroit either. I mean, looking at their schedules, the Islanders have 7 games left, and Detroit has 7 as well. I mean, Philadelphia has 6. I'll say this. Philadelphia has the easiest schedule left of the 4 teams, looking at what they're looking at. You got Buffalo, Columbus, and Montreal, their next 3 games coming up. Their last 3 games can be tough, depending on what happens with the Rangers. If the Rangers have clinched the President's Trophy by then, or if they're still in the race and they need it, then maybe you see the Rangers playing balls to the wall and everybody plays in that game on the 11th. And then Jersey's out of it. They play them on the 13th. They would love to play spoiler. And then Washington's going to be directly competing with them. So that game on the 16th is going to be crazy. So that's each other's last game is Tuesday the 16th between Washington and Philadelphia. That could decide some things. Washington's schedule is kind of tough. They have Pittsburgh, who seems to be playing better tomorrow night. Then they have Carolina on the 5th, Ottawa on the 7th, Detroit, who they're competing against on the 9th, Buffalo, who just spanked Detroit last night somehow. I don't even know how that happened.
That's bewildering.
Yeah. And then Tampa Bay, Boston, and then obviously, you know, Philadelphia for their last game for Washington. But I would say the Philadelphia Flyers probably have the easiest schedule. The Islanders have the second easiest schedule. And then you're looking at probably, I would say, Washington, and then Detroit has the most difficult schedule of the 4 teams. I wouldn't be surprised if the Islanders made it. I really wouldn't. I trust their team and their goaltending more than I trust the other teams. I mean, think about it. Who would you rather have in net come crunch time? Ilya Sorokin, one of Ville Husso, Charlie Lindgren, because God knows what happened to Darcy Kemper, that Charlie Lindgren is now the starter in Washington. And Samuel Ersson, like, or Ivan Fedotov. And Fedotov's been good so far in limited action. But you're throwing this kid right into a pressure cooker, just like you did with Ersson. You want two kids really handling all the weight down a stretch run like that in Philly? Especially with Tortorella, who's now going off and is calling everybody on his team crap because they didn't show up for the second period against the Islanders. I mean, Philadelphia just seems like a Molotov cocktail that's absolutely waiting to just blow open for me. And I don't really trust what's going on there. Yeah, they have the best coach of all the teams. I trust Tortorella more than I trust Carberry, more than I trust Waugh, more than I trust, what's his name in Detroit? Not Blasho, Lalonde, sorry. Yeah. So I trust Tortorella the most, but I can't say I trust the goaltending and the defenses on the other teams. I got to give the advantage to the Islanders. So, you know what? I'm going to say the Islanders are going to make it.
I got to say, I think it's favoring the Islanders so badly right now. And Anthony and I were discussing this earlier in text. I was there last night, obviously, and it was pretty – I thought they were too much perimeter play. I thought they really didn't challenge the middle enough. And they were playing AHL team and Connor Bedard, who was everywhere. It felt like he was on the ice every 5 seconds. But you got to say this. The schedule favors the Islanders, even though they got the Rangers twice. So what? They can get up for the Rangers. But a lot of these teams are playing each other. Pittsburgh gets the Capitals Saturday. As you mentioned, the Capitals get Detroit. Like, they can knock each other off. The Islanders just got to go in, take care of business, and keep going. But, guys, also keep in mind, the Columbus Blue Jackets prevented the Pittsburgh Penguins from making the playoffs last year. And the Penguins right now are trying to make a surge themselves. So don't take anyone lightly. And that would be my point to say for the Islanders right now. Just keep doing what you're doing, and then that's it. And you know Patrick Waugh is going to keep them focused. But it's going to be an interesting end. And by the way, guys, Anthony, I'll throw this to you. This proves that you don't need a play-in team or a play-in game for the playoffs.
I mean, yeah, there's been certainly talk of that lately. I know Elliot Friedman was talking about making the case that he thinks that it might be inevitable if the league eventually does it, seeing how some of the other leagues have expanded their playoffs. But I mean, I used to be for it, but honestly, I think hockey, their playoffs, the format, and just in general, I think they have the best playoffs in all sports. So, you know, why tinker with it? I mean, you can make the case that more teams making the playoffs, there's more draws at the gate for teams, more revenue, and ultimately, that's really what it comes down to, what everyone in the league cares about. But I like the way it is, and, you know, It's going to be a crazy race to the finish here. There's no consolation prize. There is no play-in. So these, you know, four teams have to just make sure they take care of business down the stretch here. You know, and for the Islanders, it's, you know, take one game at a time. They have a game in hand on the Flyers, just trailing by just 2 points. So, you know, for the Islanders, you can't look a week from now. You just have to play the Blue Jackets tomorrow, get the 2 points, tie the Flyers for third, and then, you know, go from there and see what happens. But, you know, I think for the Islanders right now, the players inside that room are probably realize that they're lucky to still be in it, that, you know, based on how everything went. I think they essentially got like a second, third chance, so to speak, here at the crack at the can. So, you know, I'm encouraged that Wah put Horvat and Barzell back together. I didn't think they should have ever been broken up in the first place. You know, Horvat scored a big power play goal to tie the game with a nifty pass from Barzell. So keep the two of them together for the rest of the season. And hopefully, you know, they can, you know, keep getting on a roll here and carry the team to the playoffs. But it's going to be an interesting finish. That's definitely for damn sure.
But by the way, Anthony, I was a little bit shocked about this. Cizikas and Pageau were on power play one.
Yeah, well, certainly he switched he switched a lot of things up. He put Casey Cizikas and Jean-Gabriel Pageau on the first unit, and you know, moved Nelson and Palmieri to the second unit. And you know, I guess I don't blame him too much. I mean, he's just trying to get things going. And for a while, when the Islanders' power play was forming at a high clip, it was all that first unit. That second unit would go out there, you know, and they wouldn't generate much. I mean, you could call it, now you're spreading your talent out more. You could throw out a second unit and have Nelson and Palmieri out there. So, I mean, it's unorthodox to see Casey Zekas on power play one, but he's also playing on the top line with Horvat and Barzell. So, you know, it's trying something new, I suppose. We'll see if it keeps going that way. But for now, that's what he's going with here.
Look, I'm glad you brought this back up from Firestorm. I don't see why they changed it. 1 vs. 8, 2 vs. 7, 3 vs. 6.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like the play, like Joe was saying before. I don't understand why they would need to go into a play-in. And, I mean, John Radigan brings up a good question. Integrity of the playoffs or money, where does Bettman lie? You know what? I don't know.
I actually think he might go with the integrity of the game on this one.
Yeah, because he's been vocal in saying that he doesn't see a need to change it for now. So
yeah,
I guess that is the answer. But
I don't see a need to change it either. Just go back to the playoff format. You have four divisions. Give a spot for the division winner in each division, and then let the conference be sorted out by the other six teams in each conference to make the playoffs. And it's you know, 16 teams make the playoffs, and that's it. And that's what you need to do. We need to stop with wild cards. Play-ins are stupid. Just go back to it. I mean, the old format gave us rivalries like Colorado and Detroit. I mean,
well,
back to that old format. And yes, I know Claude Lemieux had a big part to do with that, and his hit on Chris Draper and the game earlier on in the year that happened before that. Yes, I know all that. But what I'm saying is that these wild cards are giving you the same exact matchups every damn year. And people are getting tired of it. People want to see different things. And you spawn and make these rivalries by having teams play different teams so that it throws a wrench in there. And you know what? Let's just say, I don't know, for example, the Rangers end up playing, I don't know, the Panthers somehow in the first round. And Matt Redby hits Matt Tkachuk and a huge brawl breaks out. That turns into a rivalry. That sparks an entire rivalry that could last 5+ years. So you know what? We need to get away from this wild card. I think it sucks. And this is another good point. You bust ass for 82 games to play a number one team who's number three, and it doesn't make sense. Why?
No. The number one team would play the number four, the first wild card. So,
but the point is that, I mean, sometimes even these wild cards are stupid because some teams are not going to get in because of their division. It almost reminds me of how the old three-division format, you know, up until like the early 2000s, where like the Southern Division would have like Washington would make it, and then the old team would be like, okay, you know what? You get that division winner would be number three, and yet they would have less points than two other teams in two of the other divisions. It just, that's what it reminds me of.
Right, but I mean, I think I just saw Anthony's eye roll on that one, because that's Southeast Division.
Yeah,
it wasn't as good as the North or the Atlantic. No,
it was garbage. It would have one team that would make the playoffs.
I'm trying to remember what they were called back then. It was the Atlantic and the Northeast, right?
The Northeast, the Atlantic, and the Southeast. And the Southeast would have Washington that would usually make it. Then they had Atlanta, who was bad. Carolina was bad back then with the exception of 2002 and maybe 99, the 2 years that they made the playoffs under that format. Florida, which was bad except for the 1 year that Burre won his first goal-scoring title with them in 2000, and they got
eliminated. And they lost the Devils.
The Devils, yeah. So it was just – it was a joke of a division, but this wild card reminds me of that in ways.
All right. We only got like 30 seconds to wrap this one up and to talk about the Rangers for a couple minutes because we got to get to our B block, which is a good one today. Anthony, would you go back to a 1-8?
Yeah, I certainly would. I like that format. And it's just funny when they switched to this format, Bettman spun it as now you're going to create rivalries by having, 2 and 3 in each division play each other every year. But I don't know. It's gotten stale because we've seen similar 2-3 matchups pretty consistently. I mean, how often have we seen the Bruins play the Maple Leafs in this format over the years?
Oh, there's another one. There's another one. They might meet again this year.
What?
LA versus Edmonton.
Yeah.
Who wants to see LA and Edmonton over and over and over again? If this is the third year in a row that happens, what is that telling you about Gary Bettman's assertion there? It's nonsense.
Yeah. I do have to say, guys, I am sort of more in favor of this one because it does work a lot like 1-8. However, right now I'm doing the math in my head because you guys spun this one out.
It'll be
right
now
Rangers versus
math if you think this works like that.
Well, I'm just saying it would be the Rangers versus right now. What is it? Washington, which would be what it is. Then it would be because number 2 is the division winner anyway over the Atlantic. Boston versus Tampa Bay, which we're going to get to in a second. I mean, it works out almost the same except for Philadelphia dragging down a little bit more.
Philly
would be the 8th.
We could finally see the first Ranger Islander playoff series since 94. I mean, if the Islanders overtake the Capitals, then the Rangers hold on to that 1 seed, you would see a Rangers Islanders playoff series. So that's certainly in the making.
Phil, would you take a Rangers Islanders series in the first round, even after the Rangers win, if they win the President's Trophy?
I mean, yeah, if that's the matchup, that's the matchup.
I'm asking shades of 94 right there.
I would definitely take that result if that's what ends up happening. Yeah, of course. But I mean, I just want to see one play 8, and I want newer, fresher matchups. Like, we're getting the same crap over and over again.
All right, guys, we're going to pivot quickly. We only got a couple minutes to talk about the Rangers right now, who are 3-1. They were 2-1 this week. Sorry, went to the other one. 104 points. They're number 1 in the NHL. They get the Devils tonight. Carolina gets the Bruins tomorrow. They get the Bruins twice in the next 5 days. Rangers lead Carolina by 3 points. Filk, upcoming games, I got them right here for you. Are the Rangers going to win the President's Trophy?
I want to say yes. The homer in me wants to say yes. But I'm not entirely sure. I know you don't want to hear that. That's not the answer you want to hear. I get it. Carolina is playing great hockey right now. And they don't seem to be losing. And they just, every time the Rangers seem to get a win, Carolina gets a win. What do you know? But they have Boston. They have Washington. They have Boston twice. And Boston is trying to win as well. They want that division. So those are going to be tough games. Washington is trying to get in. That's going to be a tough game for them. Columbus is an easy game. St. Louis shouldn't be a hard game, but they have 3 gimme games in two against Columbus and 1 against Chicago. So I don't know. I'm really torn on this one because Carolina's schedule is not super tough. They got, like I said, 3 easy games that they should win, but stranger things have happened. I'll be.
Anthony, what do you think?
For the hell of it, but I mean, it's really hard to say.
Anthony, what do you think? Are the Rangers going to be called Mr. President at the end of this?
all, I mean, Dallas has 103 points, so you have to clearly you have to consider Dallas, Boston, as Philip mentioned, 103 points. You know, can't count out Vancouver. You know, they're still in it. So it really, I mean, honestly, it's really too hard to say. But you know, if you're the Rangers, and I know if you're a player, you can't read into it. It's more so the fan type thing, but. Winning the President's Trophy has almost been a little bit of a curse. Teams that win the President's Trophy typically don't lift Lord Stanley over their head. So, but at the end of the day, the Rangers are just concerned about winning hockey and winning as many games as possible going into the playoffs. That's really all that matters. But that's just a little sidebar I threw in there. But honestly, I think it's too. I mean, it's they're all those teams are still so very good that. It's honestly a toss-up. I could see Dallas winning it. I could see Boston winning it. The Rangers, maybe even Carolina if they, you know, if they keep playing really good hockey. So it's just it's too hard to predict.
I do think that the Rangers need to finish number one in the Eastern Conference. I think that that's neat. You want to avoid Tampa Bay. Not that you want to avoid them like you're scared to play them. You want to avoid them because that's a team with experience. That's a team with a good goaltender. Now, Warren is saying right here, it comes.
I think it could be that close.
I hope it doesn't because Ottawa tends to fucking play the Rangers tough. As I just threw an F bomb in there out of nowhere. So sorry about that, boys. The other thing I do want to ask before we pivot away from the Rangers, Anthony, Alexei Lafreniere with a hat trick. He's got 25 goals this season. He had a 5-point career high.
Sorry, I don't have an answer.
Oh, no. Alexa, shut up. Anthony, if Alexei Lafreniere scores 30 goals, it didn't happen. Okay, she was quiet. If Alexei Lafreniere scores 30 goals, can I get you to bite that hat this on the next broadcast?
Yeah, no, honestly, he's really you know, I've been criticized of him, rightfully so. I mean, for first overall pick, he hadn't really lived up to expectations, but has a crack at 30 goals. You know, he's starting to become, I would say, a legitimate top line player. I mean, at the end of the day, is he ever going to reach, you know, 80, 90 points? I mean, that I don't know, but I mean, I think he's come into his own. He's comfortable in his own skin this year. He's playing harder. I think his compete level's harder. So yeah, I mean, if you're a Ranger fan, you're certainly happy with his play. You know, for me, and I think a lot of people though, they want to see that more of a higher gear. But I think for him, he certainly flew by Kaapo Kakko because for a while both of them were kind of like on the same type of level, where underproducing, and you know he certainly has hit his stride. And you know, Kakko maybe continues to still continue to find his way in the league. But yeah, Lafreniere, he's having a good year. He's having a good year.
Well, Philk, I have to answer this question because
it is. I don't think Panarin's had hat tricks there.
No, but Philk.
No, Chris Kreider.
Chris Kreider, yeah. In the same game. Chris Kreider had the hat trick. Pumple got in the final minute, and Mike Smith broke his stick because he couldn't believe it.
Kreider had another one afterwards, like I think like two. Oh no, that might have been at the Garden.
That was at the Garden.
That was at the Garden. That's right.
Yeah, but there was a hat trick in that game. There were two hat tricks in that game. Matt Pumple was the other one.
Oh, that's crazy that the Rangers scored two hat tricks in one game. Yeah, okay. I know, Evan. Yeah, you. I. That's why I corrected my. Basically corrected myself. So, but
well, Phil, there ain't a gift for you that you messed up. So just remember that. Yeah. I was going to take a quick message from DraftKings, and then we have a couple playoff series we're going to look at. We got to get it done quick because we only got limited time with Anthony. Hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same game parlays. combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot and an even bigger payout. Download the DraftKings Sports app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN.
It's a no for me, dog.
No.
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 Hey, guys, welcome back to Big Apple Hockey's Who Says No. Usually we do this as a segment about mock trades that we'll do, but this one is a bit of a playoff preview where we're going to say, can a team upset another one? And we're going to start right now with the Carolina Hurricanes. This was Monday's matchup, not now, of course. Carolina Hurricanes versus the Washington Capitals. Head-to-head this year, Carolina is 1-0-2 versus Washington. They play again, I think that's Friday night. Carolina this season, guys, you look at their record, oh my goodness, 19-6-2 since January 30th. Been using that date a lot. I'll tell you why I go back to that later. And only the Rangers, they're behind by 1 point. Carolina versus Washington, though, 3.67. It's the highest goals against out of any of the Metro teams. Anthony, is this a bad matchup for Carolina, or am I looking too far into this?
You're looking way too far into it. I mean, well, first off, I got to ask you, why did you pose this particular matchup? Because the Capitals, they're not finishing in wild card one. They're if they make the playoffs, they're going to be wild card two. And at this rate, that means they're going to play the Rangers.
They could also be number three.
They could also, yeah, I was about to say either
one or two. Oh, sorry, yes, three. You're right. If they catch the Flyers, it could be the 2-3 matchup.
All right. This was actually the matchup on Monday when I started this.
I mean, no, I think the Hurricanes are going to would blow them out of the water in a playoff series. The Capitals are a negative 35. I mean, aside from Dylan Strome and Alex Ovechkin, I mean, their offensive production is kind of nowhere to be found. I mean, not to sound like a guy just wants to trash the Capitals right now, but if the Capitals make the playoffs, whether it be a wild card and play the Rangers or three and play the Hurricanes, they're going to get smoked. I could see both of those teams sweeping them, actually. That's just my opinion. And also, too, I don't put weight into regular season matchups when the playoffs come because it's a totally different ball game. I'm not really I wouldn't put any weight on what the Hurricanes did against the Capitals during the regular season because, again, I think come playoff time, that doesn't really mean much. So, I think the Hurricanes would trounce the Capitals in round one.
Good point you bring that up, Anthony, because that's going to come along a lot more. And you are right about that, because after all, when we first did one of these, when we first got together, I was like, the Penguins are going to destroy the Islanders. The Islanders turned that around on the Penguins real quick. Phil, is this one that could be a tough matchup for the Hurricanes?
No. I mean, maybe it goes to six at most. But I this is a matchup I could see in five. I just think once Carolina gets into playoff mode and they start playing their system, I don't think Washington has the answer. The only way that I can see this working out in Washington's favor any bit is if Lindgren just has his Lynn sanity run and just absolutely steals the series against them. Because I this is what I think it would be. The other thing is that Carolina's improved their penalty kill from 2 years ago when the Rangers absolutely carved them on the power play in 2022. But I mean, the Capitals, I don't think they want anything to do with Carolina. I think they would rather play the Rangers and hope that they can, maybe Tom Wilson can do something to get in the Rangers' heads. But I don't even think that's going to do anything because they're going to have Matt Redby for him. So, I don't think Carolina is scared any bit of Washington. I think they would welcome that matchup.
I think the thing I point to in this entire matchup is the high goals against. After all, after the Jake Guentzel trade, they lost a 7-6 game in shootout. Now, granted, it's shootout, but still 7-6. That means 12 goals were scored.
That game was absolutely absurd. It just they kept trading goals left and right because nobody wanted to play defense in that game.
Right. I would worry about that for Carolina. I think Washington would be the team for them to worry about. Philadelphia, the numbers are a lot better, and I think that would be something to worry about. Now, you look at a team that's got a lot of experience, guys, and looks pretty good right now, and going up against a team that has a lot of overtime losses. Tampa Bay versus the Boston Bruins. Head-to-head, the Bruins are only 1-1-2 against the Lightning, and they're even in goals against and goals for. Since January 30th, I'll go back to why I go with that date a while later, but Tampa Bay has been the better team.
Why do you keep saying it? This is the second time you said it, and you have not provided any explanation.
It goes with the last matchup. The last matchup, that's the Elias Lindholm trade.
Okay.
I'll go with that again in a minute. But look at the Bruins goaltenders, Philk. Swayman, 8-5-1. Allmark, 5-3-5. A much better save percentage than last night's shutout. Helped it a lot. Bilk, does this matchup favor Tampa Bay?
Yeah. I don't trust Boston center depth, not one bit. I don't. Their defense is better, and their goaltending is putting up better statistics. But I still think that Vasilevsky has that gear in him that he could turn it on once playoffs come around. And I trust him more in the playoffs than almost any other goaltender that would enter the playoffs because the guy's won two cups. And he's been dominant. And if you've seen his numbers in closeout games, forget about it. It's almost video game-like. Like, his numbers in closeout games are like Henrik Lundqvist in game sevens. That's how good he is in closeout games. So, yeah, I'm taking Tampa all the way. And not only that, but Tampa's big guns on offense have proven that they can get it done. And I would much rather face Pastrnak and Marchand and shut those two down and let the rest of the team try to score on me as opposed to trying to shut down Kucherov because Kucherov is going to make everybody around him better. Everyone. And that includes Braden Point, Brandon Hagel, Stamkos, that power play. I'd much rather face Boston's power play than Tampa Bay's. Tampa Bay's power play can absolutely carve you up. The Rangers saw it last time they played them.
Anthony, what do you think?
Yeah, I wouldn't be fooled by Tampa Bay only being a wild card. Granted, unless the Leafs kind of go on a slide and the Lightning make up the 6 points they trail them by, the Lightning are going to finish in wild card one. Which again, in this case though. There's no way they're going to play the Bruins in the first round. So are you referring to just at some point in the playoffs? Because this probably
no, there would be wild card. There would be wild card one. The way they'd play the Bruins would be if the Rangers or the Carolina finished number one overall.
There's a possibility. Yeah, okay, and Mark's right. There is a possibility for that.
Yeah,
I like that you're doing this, Anthony. You're testing me.
Yeah, it's just I mean they're possible, but they're not set right now. Like if the season ended today, these wouldn't be the matchups. But I understand what you're doing.
Hypotheticals.
Yeah, honestly, I think Tampa Bay would win this series, even though Boston's been the better regular season team. They're a team that clearly has won recently, two in a row. They know what it takes to win, and they still have elite players that I think. Come playoff time again, they know what they have to do if they want to have success in the playoffs. So, I think the Lightning would take the series, but it would be close though. I mean, the Bruins, they're a possible president's winner, so you can't just totally discount them. But I think the Lightning would probably take the series.
One question I have with this: does Mikhail Sergachev come back for the playoffs. Because if he does, that's an even bigger slant towards Tampa Bay.
You mean Tampa Bay would activate a player off of IR and have an unfair advantage?
That was
they've never done that.
That was a legitimate injury. This is not holding out Nikita Kucherov or Steven Stamkos for an entire season to get cap compliant. That was a legitimate injury.
That is true. I mean that injury was ugly and it's still ugly. Gruesome. That's one of those you're not sure if he's coming back. Guys, let's pivot to another goaltender that could be the story. Because if you look at the Colorado Avalanche right now versus the Winnipeg Jets, that'd be 2-3 in the Central Division. Season head-to-head favors Winnipeg. They are 2-0 versus Colorado. They still play Colorado next Saturday night. Since the 31st, once again going with there, Colorado's got a four-point advantage. But, guys, I'll start this one right now. The big story to me in this series so far, Connor Hellebuyck. 939 save percentage versus the Avalanche. I think they can steal this series just on him. Philk, what do you think?
Oh, this is about as close of a matchup as it comes, if you ask me. Hellebuyck is the difference. And Hellebuyck is better than whatever Colorado could give you. They would have to go get 1996 to 2001 Patrick Waugh back to be able to battle Hellebuyck in net, because Colorado has not had a goaltender that's approached Hellebuck's level since then. The defense, Winnipeg plays a very good team defensive game. The only thing that concerns me is, can Winnipeg handle Colorado's overall team speed in a 7-game series with that new roster construction? Because I think they've only played once since the trade deadline, if I'm correct.
And no, not they haven't.
Wait, so hold on. The last...
Both times were December and November.
Right. So no, they haven't played it. You're right. No, I don't know if they can handle that type of roster construction. I mean, they brought in Trenin. They brought in Duhaime. They brought in Mittelstadt. They upgraded in every area. Walker. They upgraded from Byram to Walker. I can't even believe I'm saying that they upgraded by Sean Walker over Bowen Byram. But I mean, it's a fit. Walker's a fit, and he adds so much to them in terms of physical play and skating and two way play. So I don't know if they can. I don't know. I'm torn on this. I gotta split this down the middle.
Anthony, last word, because I know you got to get out of here in a second.
This would be one hell of a series, but I honestly think I'd go with the Avs. I mean, I just think Nathan MacKinnon is just a man on a mission this year. I mean, he's certainly a candidate to win the Hart Trophy. He just plays with so much speed and pace, elevating his game in the playoffs. I mean, this is a guy that really wants to win again. You could see it. And, you know, there's also the slim possibility that they could get a guy back like Gabriel Landeskog, maybe. But even without him, though, like Philk said, they added depth at the trade deadline. Prior to the deadline, they brought in a guy like Zach Parise, who's a proven veteran who knows what it takes this time of year. And this is not to knock Winnipeg. They're a real good team. They got a good future. They'll be where they are again next year. But I would pick Colorado to win this series.
Well, it would be a great, great series, I think. This might be one of the best early series since 95-96 Blackhawks versus Avalanche, I think.
Oh,
that was a great series. That was great.
I can't hear you. I've got my cup rings plugging my ears. Yeah. Series. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, Anthony, you able to stay?
Yeah, I got literally one or two more minutes. So if you do
another, all right, great. So we're going to go to the last one then, and we'll start with you. Because, Anthony, the reason why I keep going to that particular date was because it was the Elias Lindholm trade. The Nashville Predators versus the Vancouver Canucks are right now a matchup that could happen. The season head-to-head says Vancouver would smoke them. 3-0, 13 goals for and 6 goals against. the season totals, here you go. But since just before Thanksgiving, only a 3-point difference. And since the Lindholm trade, Nashville only, it's actually 7 points in the red to Vancouver, to Vancouver. Whatever. I fucked it up. All right. So my question then to you guys is, who would have the advantage of the series, Anthony?
I mean, whoever thought canceling their trip to see U2 at the Sphere would create such a run? Because it was after that where the Predators just absolutely went on a tear. They were 16-0-2 since that moment. I mean, this is tough because the Canucks have been up there all year. I mean, they're in contention for the President's Trophy, but you know, playoff hockey is different. And I honestly, I think the Predators are more built for playoff hockey. You know, it seems like the Canucks are, you know, they're run and gun. I question them in the playoffs playing against a hard-nosed team like Nashville. Obviously, you know, Barry Trotz is the coach, but he's the GM. He wants them to play a certain way. Constructed their roster to do such. I think Nashville would win this series. I like UC Saros. You know, he's having a down year like some of the other elite goalies are in this league, but he's still, for my money, certainly a top 10 goalie in the league, maybe even top 7. I mean, there are rankings that have had him higher. So I think they win the edge there in goaltending. Again, I think they're a stingier team. Guys like Ryan O'Reilly that they got in their lineup, you know, Colton Sissons. I think those type of players can make a difference this time of year. And I think they would grind Vancouver out. And then also, I mean, Roman Josi is just, he's incredible back there for Nashville. So steady. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying it'd be a cakewalk, but I would pick Nashville right now if I had to pick.
All right. Philk?
Pretty much.
See Anthony, take it easy.
Yeah, what was that?
Apparently, if you do this, balloons come up.
That's really weird.
All right.
For whatever reason, but okay. Yeah, I'm going Nashville here. It's a completely different team now. The last matchup between the two of them was back in December, and Nashville's a different team. It was December 19th. Vancouver won 5-2. Saros took the loss in that one. I definitely think that they're a completely different team. There's just a lot of momentum going in Nashville's favor. Anthony also pointed out that they have a playoff constructive roster. I think they have one of the best lines right now in the NHL with Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Nyquist together. I think that line is just absolutely churning on all cylinders. I think that's not a line that anybody wants to face right now. Saros is not a goaltender that anybody wants to face right now. And I'll say this again because I've said it all throughout the season. What happens to Quinn Hughes when the games start getting more tightly checked and the whistles start to disappear a bit? What happens?
Yep.
And I really think that you're going to see a difference. Not only that, but guys like Hughes and Pettersson were at the top of the league scoring-wise for all these years. And then now all of a sudden, or not all these years, for all the season, I should say, sorry. For all those months, they were at the top of the scoring league, and then they just fell off completely. It's just, for me, I don't trust Vancouver come playoff time. I don't. I really don't. I don't think they're that good. I think that they're a good regular season team. You like the transition game. You like the speed. But that defensive core on paper is not great. And he did not get hit by that ball. That's a terrible call.
Is this the Yankees?
Game. Yeah. Terrible call. I don't know what they're calling there. He did not get hit by that. So,
Phil, Let me go one step further and go back to this stat that Phil Forsberg's got 37 points. Roman Josi's got 32 points. I didn't include Gustav Nyquist, who's got 30 points. JT Miller's got 27.
What? Grant Van... That's 130. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Like, there's, I mean, they got three scorers above Vancouver's highest scorer. And on top of that, I think the key player in this entire series, if this season ended today and this is what the matchup is Thatcher Demko. They need a healthy Thatcher Demko in order to win this series. I don't know if it's going to happen. And a lot of people don't know if it's going to happen. Now, granted, you still have the playoff seedings can still change up a little bit because, after all, Vegas just beat Vancouver 6-3 last night. And you're looking at Edmonton knocking on the door to get to the Pacific Division title. Look, this could be a very interesting series. I'll tell you right now, Vancouver is the one that is ripe for the plucking. I am not saying that to disparage Vancouver in any way, all the Canuck fans that are watching, but it's something that hopefully they can get away from, and maybe, you know, maybe they could still have success. I look at young teams like them, Philk, and I think that they're the ones that would probably go out sooner because they just don't have that experience.
Yeah.
All right. Guys, we have talked a lot about the playoff series. Which ones do you think could be potential upsets? Throw them down in the comments below. But let's go do some NHL bar talk because there's a game at 7 o'clock, and I know we all want to watch that. Yeah.
Shot. This is the easiest I've ever had to answer.
I say beer. I can't even begin to describe.
I'm actually going to go crazy. I'm going to buy everybody around on this one. Inadvertently, I cut Phil off right there. I'm sorry about that, Phil. But welcome back, everybody, to Big Apple Hockey's Bar Talk, where we're gauging our confidence on NHL topics based on our choice of drink. Are you so confident that you're buying everybody around? So I'll have a beer or, oh, God, I need a shot. Play along down in the comments below. I guarantee you that there's a layup comment that's waiting for me right now. But there why don't we start it off with a layup, Phil? Because you and I both agree on this. We've both tweeted this, and you said it. Hell, it is actually on. Why didn't it snap out? It's actually in your byline right there, which is Jacob Trouba is at -5 since returning in the two games that he's played. The Rangers need to make Jacob Trouba a third-pairing defenseman. Get the gift. I got it. It's coming up.
Get the boom.
it's
gotten to a point where, and I know that there are fans that go and, get the damn hoop, you silly goose. But yeah, I don't understand how they can go right back to this when this pairing has shown that they're just not capable over three coaches. Trouba got absolutely dog-walked in two consecutive series against New Jersey last year and then Tampa in the conference finals. Mm-hmm. He wasn't great against Carolina. He wasn't great against Pittsburgh outside of taking out Crosby. Jacob Trouba absolutely needs to be on a third pairing. He is not a 20-minute-a-game defenseman anymore. He's just not. And the skill level is one thing, but the skating is the biggest issue. Because this team had to go out and make improvements to their team speed and to try to contend with teams like Jersey and Carolina. Miller, not only is Miller visibly frustrated, he's visibly uncomfortable playing with him. Him and Schneider have played the best hockey of their careers together, and Laviolette goes and throws his pairing back together. And the minute he comes back against Arizona, what happens? 5 goals they let up. 5 goals, and they were on the ice for, three of them?
Three of them.
Terrible. Terrible. They have to do something to get rid of him. They have to admit the mistake. He has to go after this season.
Phil, let me just hit that round.
No. There's no please give him a minute. He's given 4 years, 5 years now.
No. No, Poppin Socks, I gotta go the other way on this one. I've been saying this since Trouba went out. Miller's play has gone up when Trouba was out. He was paired with Schneider. Schneider's play has gone up since Trouba has been out. Has Miller still made some problems? Of course. I've seen Phil's Twitter thread. I know what it is. But on the other hand, let's be honest about something else. Jacob Trouba has been a bust. Like, and now you might want to say 2 years ago, he led the NHL in the playoffs in blocks and hits. Good for you.
What does that mean? You don't have the puck.
Exactly. You never have the puck. So let's go with that one. But let's also say it like this too. We know Miller and Trouba don't work. Move Trouba down to the third line, or the third pairing, I should say, and that could strengthen the third pairing. After all, I've gone on and on about this. One of the greatest acquisitions, you could argue, in the last 10 years for the New York Rangers was Kevin Kline. Kevin Kline took over from Michael Delzato, solidified the third pairing. Bang. Go ahead. Try to match up against us. The Rangers then went to the Stanley Cup Finals and won a President's Trophy and went to the Eastern Conference Finals both years. And again, they would have made a Stanley Cup, if not a Stanley Cup Finals, if Matt Zuccarello wore ear guards, but that's a different story. But it's just, come on. We're not fooling anybody. It's time to move it over to Schneider. And by the way, Schneider was the guy that Trouba said is going to take over his job. Yeah. Like I said, Matt is saying, this is an upstairs decision. Like I said, no way three coaches in a row didn't pay this problem.
There's no way that three coaches can't see that this pairing doesn't friggin' work.
And, Philk, I worry about that a lot. I worry about that a lot. If it's an upstairs decision, it's the fact that he's a captain and you're paying him, he's got to step back. He's got to do this himself.
Not only that, but I dug up the tweet from Vince Mercogliano from November 2022, and it stated that Gallant said, oh, well, me trying to hold back Trouba from coming back, oh, that's not going to happen. He'd never allow that. Why is it that no one steps up to this guy and tells him, hey, you're not ready, you're not playing?
Well, guess what? Peter Laviolette's got to have to do that. He's the coach with the experience and the resume.
This is a guy with pedigree, all-time pedigree.
Yes.
Step up to the captain and tell him, hey, you're hurt, you're not playing. It doesn't matter what you think or what you say, you're not playing.
But, Phil, even if he's healthy, put him on the third pairing. He doesn't work with Miller. We've proven this.
That's the thing. He should have been put back in third pairing minutes. He shouldn't have been thrown back 20 minutes into the fire and playing him against Sidney Crosby, who absolutely dog walks him.
Yes. Well, going back to another veteran, this one could use more playing time. And the guy that Patrick Waugh said he's going to play more. Semyon Varlamov, his last six games, 4-1-1, 9.15 save percentage. Wish I had Anthony here to say this. But Philk, Varlamov needs the Islanders needs to use Varlamov more in the final games.
You know what? It's funny. I was it last week or the week before that I said that sometimes you just got to ride the hot hand and go with, you know. Oh no, this game is tied. No, it's not.
Hey, sorry, Diamondbacks were a good team.
No, it's 6-5 now. They were 6-4, but the bases are still loaded. So, but yeah, I don't. I'm going to go beer just because if Sorokin's not getting the job done, then get Varlamov in there and get into the playoffs. Do what you have to do to get into the playoffs and then worry about the playoffs from there. So I tend to wonder what Waugh would do. And not only that, but you got to remember there's a connection with Varlamov and Waugh. Mm-hmm. Varlamov was his goaltender in Waugh's rookie season when they had that great run with the 2014 Avalanche to end up losing to Minnesota in game 7 with the Nino Niederreiter overtime goal in game 7. But I mean, Varlamov and Waugh, they have a good relationship. They had a good relationship. So you may end up seeing it.
Phil, I kept on doing this motion because I thought you were about to say he was a Vezina Trophy finalist under Patrick Roy. Yeah. Yes. I am going to go beer on this one as well because talent level says, and your franchise goalie is Sorokin, you stay with Sorokin. But Varley is a good choice to go in with that. Sure, why not? Just keep it going. Phil, let's go back to that Eastern Conference wildcard standings where you have Tampa Bay with 89 points and you see the crowd in the next four spots after that. Let's talk about that team at the bottom that is making a push. Monday versus the Rangers, Sidney Crosby scored his 82nd point of the season. He's added to that point per game for 19 consecutive seasons. Phil, first off, before I ask the question, do you know how many players have 19 consecutive seasons of a point per game?
One.
Who is that? Gretzky. Well, yeah, and Gretzky.
One other aside from, yeah, it's Gretz, and then his streak got broken his last season where he only had, I think it was 62 points, I think it was.
Yeah, it was like he had a rough season, and that was the neck injury that really killed him. But, Phil, if the Penguins make the playoffs, Sidney Crosby is an MVP finalist.
No. Shot. No. He's playing great to try to drag them there, but all game over. Yes. Nice. Caleb Ferguson closed it out. I don't see Sidney Crosby as an MVP finalist. He had a great year, all things considered, but how are you? You're putting him over who? You're not putting him over Kucherov, who's doing much more with a similar talent level.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay is but a complete team. Are you going to put him there over McKinnon? No. Connor McDavid is the reason why Edmonton is where it is, because Draisaitl is on pace for about a 20-point drop-off from last year, mm-hmm. and McDavid is still up for the Art Ross, despite being 20 points behind Kucherov like a month and change ago. So, I would put Panarin over Crosby, too, because Panarin's one of the driving forces of a team that could win the President's Trophy. So, I'll say this. No. Just, it's a flat-out no. And it's no disrespect to Sidney Crosby, who I think is a phenomenal player still, but there's just too many ahead of him.
I think you hit the nail on the head with that one. I'm going to go shot on this one as well. Look, Sidney Crosby is playing at an MVP level. He is playing outstanding. No, I could run out of superlatives to say about him. Not a chance. Because we're having trouble enough trying to get it down to three with McDavid, Panarin, Kucherov, and McKinnon.
Yeah.
How do I fit Crosby in there? No. Sorry, Sid. You're going to be fifth at best this year. And I do mean...
I wouldn't even put him up that high. And it's 85 points. Like, I get it. He 85 points, or 84, rather. And 39 goals, but it's just, there's not enough there.
Phil, this is one of the topics I always go back to, and we did talk about this briefly in the Who Says No just before the B block. But the Boston goalies, you look at what they've done since February 5th, Swayman and Allmark, who's added to those numbers. But the Bruins... And by the way, to a lesser extent, the Carolina Hurricanes can win the Stanley Cup with a rotating goalie tandem.
Shot. You're eventually going to have to ride a hot hand. The last team that I saw try to do this was the 2002 Carolina Hurricanes with Urbane Weeks. And they ran into a buzzsaw that was the 2002 Red Wings. And that team had 9 future Hall of Famers on it. And you know what? And maybe if they didn't face Detroit, maybe if they faced Colorado, maybe they could have won that. But it doesn't work. You keep going back and forth. You keep jerking the goalie out of the net, and you keep pulling him. It just it creates controversy. It's a distraction. I mean, if you ever watch the Road to Victory 94 Rangers story, Mike Richter was always looking over his shoulder at Keenan because he was wondering when Keenan was going to pull him because Keenan decided to pull him on an impulse. So, yeah, and yeah, Pete, nobody was beating that Detroit club. The only team that could have was Colorado because Peter Forsberg led all players in playoff scoring despite not even playing in the final round. That's how good Forsberg was. Forsberg almost led them over. So I don't see it. It really hasn't happened. And if it anytime recently, I should say, I can't remember the last time it happened, because if you look back at all the winners from, like, let's just say 1990 on, Ranford had his Conn Smythe run. Mm-hmm. 91 and 92 were Barrasso. 93 was Waugh. 94 was Richter as the starter. 95 was Brodeur. 96 was Waugh. 97 was, I mean, Vernon and Osgood, really?
That was Vernon.
It was mostly Vernon in 97, and then it was Osgood in 98 when Vernon was gone. So
yeah, Vernon went to San Jose.
Vernon went to San Jose, and that was really the start of the end of his career mostly. But, I mean, from there, it's the one team that tried it was 2002 Hurricanes, and they just were – it just didn't work in the end. They ran into the wrong team, and the wrong team kicked the crap out of them. And the only reason they won a game was because Ron Francis had that overtime magic in game one.
Yeah. So. And, Phil, let me just keep going where you're saying. First, let me take a little bit of the stance Anthony would take right here to kind of deflect and say, you know what? The last 2 years, Aiden Hill's taken over midway through the playoffs. And 2 years ago with Colorado, they had Darcy Kemper, and they had, help me out. I forgot his name for a second.
Pablo Franco.
Thank you. But in both those cases, either lack of productivity or injury ended up being the catalyst. But those guys didn't have to look over their shoulder in any way. If you go with a goalie tandem, let's say you're doing it with Ullmark and Swayman. Never mind the Carolina tandem. Ullmark and Swayman sort of have been like the Van Beesbrouck and Richter, who convinced me the tandems don't work like this in the playoffs, because you have to go and say, well, this guy's starting this game, this guy's starting this game. And when that happens, I do think there's pressure on that goaltender, because then you know you're not, it's almost like you're getting pulled at the end of the game. And I think that's a factor that goes through your mind. You got to win this game because you can't redeem yourself for the next game. God only knows if you're going to be able to do that. So I really do think tandems don't work. And like I said, Van Beesbrouck and Richter convinced me of this. Mike Keenan convinced me of this. And the old expression, when it comes to starting goaltenders, if you have two, you don't have one. That was the expression I was thinking of. But it's one of those things. No, it can't be. I just don't think it could work. And I wonder, by the way, let me just go to the statements right over here. Do you guys think it could work? Rangers have won a cup since I've been alive. Hopefully that'll change. Game three was triple overtime. That is a good point. If I remember correctly, Larionov scored the winning goal on that one, Pete. But, I think that was a different dynasty on that one. No. Montana and Young were okay, but Young didn't see any playing time until Leonard Marshall's crown of his helmet went into Joe Montana's back. I mean, they were okay, but Firestorm, I think Richter was more of a stand-up goaltender. I think he was the last real good stand-up goaltender that was in the league. He wasn't so much of a butterfly like what was all around everywhere. And Pete saying, yeah, I think so. So again, yeah, Dave, that's the expression. If you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any. The only guy that defied that was Bill Parcells in the 90s with Hostetler and Sims. So I'm going to wait for Filk, and then we're going to get another the rest of the topics out of there. As I am having some salmon tonight with some craft stuffed meat. As Samuel Jackson would say, that's a good choice. And the first word out of that was mother. All right. Now that Phil's back. Now that Phil is back, we can keep going. Let's look at the wild card race in the West, Phil, because we have the Los Angeles Kings and the St. Louis Blues. They are battling it out for the last wild card spot, only 3-point difference. And you look at the win percentage for both teams. This is their opponent's win percentage. But the Blues are going to catch the Kings, Phil.
I'm going to say shot.
Yeah.
I don't see it. The Kings have a game in hand on them. They're up 3 points. I don't trust St. Louis. I don't exactly trust LA. I don't trust St. Louis either. I really don't. The makeup of their team isn't great. Their best offensive producers are who? Rob Thomas, Jordan Kyrou, and Pavel Buchnevich. Where is the offense otherwise? I don't see it from them. Their schedule, they do have some easy games. Four of their seven remaining games are games that they should win. They have San Jose, Anaheim, Chicago, and Seattle. But their other three are Nashville, Carolina, and Dallas. And that's a pretty damn tough three right there.
Yeah.
I don't really trust them in that regard. LA, their goaltending is just meh. And St. Louis's goaltending is also meh, but the LA, I don't trust Talbot. I don't trust anything they have going there. And LA has Seattle, San Jose, but then they have Vancouver. They have Anaheim. Calgary, LA's schedule is also a lot easier. Seattle, San Jose, Anaheim, Calgary, Anaheim again, Minnesota and Chicago. Their one tough game is Vancouver. If you want to say Minnesota's a tough game, okay. So what, two tough games? So,
Maybe Minnesota will pull their goalie in the third period now, just to try to get that win. Instead of losing a point in overtime, which by the way counts as a loss, not as an OT loss. So everybody remember that one. Phil, I just think St. Louis is going to run out of time. I think right now they're better than LA. So I'm going to go with a shot on this one as well. I think they're going to just run out of time. That's the only way to say it. LA has not been good, although Cam Talbot has seemed to correct the ship a little bit. Why do you have to be such a Cam Talbot hater? But, I wouldn't trust either one of these teams, especially LA playing division rivals but lesser teams. You get San Jose twice. San Jose has been kind of decent as of late. I can't explain it either. But you know what? We'll see how it shapes out, because I'll be shocked if St. Louis ends up making that wild card. Let's stick in the Central Division for one more question, and then we have one more topic after that. But NHL's player safety suspends Ryan Hartman for throwing a stick on the ice at the end of the Wild's OT loss to Vegas, which was, by the way, it was in overtime, but it was considered a loss because they pulled the goalie. But the NHL suspending Ryan Hartman for three games is not current, correct. Anyway. Oh, no. Mark messed up. We're going to have a jingle soon. Oh, I'll have a jingle for this soon. Well, I had proper on this. Phil, let me just say this. We've been saying the word shot a lot. Yeah, shot. Sorry. I know he's a repeat offender, Phil, but three games. What Brendan Gallagher did to Adam Pellick, I believe, was one less game.
You've got to be kidding me.
You know,
if you're going to suspend him a game, this is stupid. Why? I mean, Rempe got four games for the elbow. Okay, I agreed with
First defense.
First defense, which is, I mean, surprising that they actually cracked down on a first-time offender. But, I mean, they're making an example as of a kid. And then you have Dmitry Kulikov, who's been in the league for a while, and he gets two games for doing something even more egregious, which it was a direct elbow to the head with even more force. I mean, I know there's just no consistency with these guys. They're terrible. They're terrible. They all need to be fired. That's it. I don't care who sees this, who hears this. NHL player safety is a clown show. It's a clown show. It's a joke.
Yeah. And we're in agreement on that one, Phil. And the one thing about this is, and look, we just want consistency. We want to know what they're doing. In this particular case, I know they consider Hartman a repeat offender. He threw a stick on the ice, and it was nowhere near anybody. Was it unprofessional? Yes. This is where you find him.
Yeah. Hartman got half the time for throwing a stick that Wilson got for slashing someone in the face, basically.
Yeah. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
It's a joke.
And Phil, let's go with this one right here because
my laptop is gonna die. I think. Hold on.
All right.
I mean, you can go, but if it dies on me, then.
Well, I hope it doesn't die. Phil, let me show this one off. This is a great pass by Frank Nazar.
I've seen that. Nazar. Yeah. It's friggin' phenomenal.
I mean.
It's the Clark MacArthur play from years ago. Clark MacArthur did the same thing while he was playing for Ottawa.
But he did it at high speed, too.
So did Clark MacArthur.
Yeah. And we don't need to worry about that. Just look at this. That's so ridiculous.
Clark MacArthur actually did it over a defender that was sliding down on the ice, too. That's actually the crazier part about it. But, yeah.
But you got to have huge balls in order to make that pass.
Nazar is a good player. I mean, he was very good at the World Juniors for Team USA. I watched a lot of him there. I think he's going to be a player. I think Gavin Brindley is going to be a player as well. But yeah, I mean, if this is a bar talk.
Yeah.
What do you think I'm going to tell you, Mark?
Get the GIF.
Get the GIF. Boom. Get the damn hoop. Man, layup.
Oh, by the way, just let me see if I can tilt it for a second. There is the hoop right there.
Yeah, you should be required to show the hoop every time you toss layups.
I would love to. I just don't have enough space right now on my camera side. Phil, that's an amazing pass. I can't believe you would even think about that, especially in that situation. You're talking about national championship, you're just trying to get around the defender. You wouldn't try taking an extra stride going and
it's not like Michigan players don't have a flair for the dramatic or something like that.
I know. Like, after all, there's some play where people scoop the puck up and use it. I forgot
what happened in what, 1996?
1996, yeah. I remember I was on vacation for it. So I'm also gonna do that and I'm pretty sure Anthony would be like, yeah, that's a hat trick. Just that way we could get as many of these gifts in as possible. Also, yeah. As I'm plugging merchandise. So, all right. Phil, it's 7:02. Guys, unfortunately, we ran long today, so we're not going to be able to do some Q&A because Rangers are taking on the New Jersey Devils in a few moments. Yeah. By the way, John Rannigan's saying this right now. A half of the World Junior team will be at the Frozen Four, including their head coach. How about that one?
Yeah, well, I mean, you have that entire BC line. You have Nazar. You have Brindley. Who else is on that team? I don't think Snuggerud is.
He's Minnesota, isn't he?
Minnesota. I think didn't they get knocked out?
No, Snuggerud was on the U.S. Junior team this year.
No, he was on the U.S. Junior team, but I think they got knocked out, right?
I have to double check that. They did get knocked out because I think there's a chance of him suiting up with St. Louis.
Yeah, there's also word that he may go back next year to Minnesota again. So,
oh, Cutter Gauthier, there's another one.
Cutter Gauthier is another one because he's on BC as well.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to talk more Frozen Four. I have to do my own research on that. So, there's just a lot. But again, everybody, I didn't get to say it. Thanks for following Big Apple Hockey's Bar Talk. We gauge your confidence on NHL topics based on our choice of drink. Yeah, we got to get more the NCAA in there. But we're going to be talking about them more next week. So, we got the Frozen Four. National Championships will be next week and decided. All right. Yes. Guys, everybody, thank you very much for joining us. I know most of you are going to be signing off because there's a Ranger game that's coming on any moment. But thank you all, and we will get most of these clips out there and enjoy the game tonight. Philk, did the Rangers win tonight?
Yes, they have to rebound.
Yeah. Laviolette is a guy that can separate the previous game from the next better than almost any coach that I know of. So they're going to do that. All right. Guys, thank you very much for joining us. And everybody, take care. We'll see you next week.